16th of January 2009, and magically on our schedules, something popped up, and it was this video tour of the International Space Station. And what that means is that you're getting the straight skinny, the dirty laundry and everything. We didn't have a chance to clean up, and also we're in the middle of remodeling. STS-126, also known as the ULF-2 mission, came up about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and we're still putting everything together, putting it away. So things are a little bit cluttered up here. Certainly not dirty. We clean it all the time, but it's a little bit cluttered, so you're going to get a chance to see that. But along the way, you'll get to see real life of what the International Space Station is like, and you can see how proud I am, my crew is, and the entire space station team is of our beautiful International Space Station. And get ready, because it's big. And so we're very pleased to be able to show you this video today in high definition. Okay, here we are at the very front end of the International Space Station. This is the forward end of Node 2. And this is right behind this hatch is the PMA, the pressurized mating adapter, to which the space shuttle docks whenever the next space shuttle comes. We're about 1 month away from the 15A mission, STS-119, with Lee Archambault and Tony Antonelli and the rest of their great crew. You can see we have our flags up here at the most forward part. It's a 15-nation partnership, this International Space Station. So we'll start with the Node 2. We will stop at the Kibo module here, the Japanese pressurized module, and the Japanese logistics platform. We'll stop back there in a second. We'll take a look in the Columbus module, pride of the European Space Agency, and our pride too. And then you can look down the stack, and you can see several other modules, and even into the a little bit into the functional cargo block, the FGB, and then the service module. So it's a really big space station that we got. So let's start off right here with our new modules. This is Node 2, Harmony, and it was recently brought up. It's been up here for maybe about 1 year, and we can see from Harmony, we can go into the Columbus module. PMA to where the shuttle is, and the GEM. So we have stowage in the overhead above, and an interim resistive exercise device until we get the advanced resistive exercise device up and running. We get to use IRED until ARED is good. And then there's a hatch below, little window that you can see out, see our beautiful planet. And that's Node 2. As we fly into the Japanese experimental module, the GEM, also known as the Kibo, you can see it's the biggest module aboard the space station. And it's, in fact, it even says so here. There's a, sorry for moving the camera so fast, but it says right here, "Welcome to Kibo. Please enjoy and relax in this brand new, the most spacious and quietest room in the ISS." Along the floor, we're holding, we're temporarily stowing some panels, including the cabin, which is going to be useful for the toilet. You can see here, this is the SIBO rack, which is for cell biology. And then we have a fluid rack, Urutai. So these are the two main Japanese science racks that are up here now. There's more that are coming. Behind these panels here is nothing. It's the actual shell of the spacecraft. And you can see there's wires and a few wires back there. And if we're lucky, we'll see a shell heater, these orange strips, and they keep the actual body of the space station from freezing or getting really cold by running electrical current and keeping everything warm with the heaters. Okay, we'll stop right here real quick and take a look on the floor, on the deck they call it. This is the minus 80 lab freezer, Melfi, and we use that a lot. We store a lot of our biological samples, urine and blood there. And on the ceiling, we have the ICS and PROX rack. So PROX stands for proximity operations. It's going to be used for the HTV, which is the H2 transfer vehicle. And also ICS is a comm system that's Japan is going to have up and running once the external platform is out there. So this rack shares double duty. Okay, and we have the airlock here, which we haven't used yet, but it's ready to go. Once the exposed facility's there, the airlock will be great because you can take something, put something in the airlock, and then outside is a robot arm that can take it and put it on the outside back porch. Now, Sandy and I just reconfigured this robotics workstation. It looks a little bit cable-y today, but it's not so bad. We're actually going to run a test on Monday using the backup robotics control blocks. So we actually had to redo a lot of cables today, and it went by pretty well. So here are the backup boxes that we worked on. And let's take a quick look out the window before it gets dark outside. We're going around the world every 90 minutes, so we can see a lot of sunrises and sunsets. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful out there. So this is looking out the port side of the space station, and we're actually also on the front side, so front port side of the space station. And let's take a look what we can see out there. We can see the robot arm I was talking about, the GEM RMS. Those orange things are the solar arrays on the port side. And you can see we have a full set, and 15A STS-119 is going to be bringing up the last solar array on the starboard side. And take a look, there's our beautiful blue planet there. And looking at this and where we are, I'd say we're over the South Indian Ocean. You can actually see some icebergs down there, so we're actually probably between Africa and Antarctica. You can actually see the different shades of the blue water. So that's the view we get to see every day up here. It's pretty nice. All right, closing the window shutter. The Japanese guys always think it's fun when we talk about closing the window. It's like, no, closing the shutter, because the window should never be open. Okay. Now we're going to float up. One of the few modules that actually goes up, and that's the Japanese, or the GEM Logistics Platform, the JLP. It's very empty in here, very few handrails to grab on with your toes or your hands. And we have a few zero-G stowage racks right in here. We also have a few of these, what they're called soft dummy panels, which there's nothing behind. And it's a pretty pretty nice closet up here in space. Then if you look down, you can see the deck, the airlock there on the port side. And we'll just float on right down. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so now fly with me. We're gonna go to the Columbus module. Readjust my camera here. Yuckily. Here we are in the Columbus module. You can see it's also spacious. It's also cluttered because it's a great place to store things or temporarily stow them. It's not going to be this way forever. We're going to have it nice and clean pretty soon. In these big bags right here are food containers. We have a lot of food on board. Not all of it's for our crew. It's for the future crews. And also, there's still some food left from past crews, so we have to make sort it and make sure we don't waste anything if we can help it. This is the Columbus module. It's, again, the pride of the European Space Agency. There's quite a few experimental racks in here. This is the microgravity science glove box. That's one of my favorites. I've been working on the SHEAR experiment from MIT and a few other places. We have the European drawer rack right over here. This is the FSL, Fluid Science Laboratory, on the ceiling. And we have to be careful not to bump into it because it has some really neat experiments going on. Right now, this is a GeoFlow. We also have a few American racks in here, like the Express 3 rack right here. But at the bottom of the Express rack, we have the European Modular Cultivation System. So we have a really neat system here where everybody's sharing and working together. This is BioLab, where we're going to start growing some plants in the next couple weeks. The European Physiology Modules Facility. We haven't had a chance to use that on this mission yet. And then the HRF, the Human Research Facility, rack number 2. And that has an ultrasound and a few other things that we use. So we use the refrigerated centrifuge also. Actually, the HRF2 doesn't have the ultrasound. It's this one, the HRF1 rack, has the ultrasound on it. We're going to use that for the bracelet experiment coming up. Columbus. Okay, we started in Node 2. We're flying back to Node 2. We'll take a quick look what else we have here. We have my work area. It's a little bit cluttered right now. But this is kind of my desk. It doesn't sit out horizontally, but it has everything I need on it. This are my crew quarters right here. You can tell it has my name on it. And on top of it is a radiation monitor. These are new crew quarters. And in fact, I can give you a tour real quick of crew quarters. Sandy put these crew quarters together. This is what it looks like inside. There's a fair amount of room. We'll get the has a standard space station light on it, GLA. And I'll see if I can give you guys a feel of what it looks like in here. Here. Sockets and outlets for laptop if you need it. And so in my crew quarters, I have a bracket on here and a laptop computer. And it's very convenient, and I can read my books at night. It's great. So that's the crew quarters. It's not very noisy inside. There's a nice fan. It's pretty comfortable. I get very good sleep there. So now we're going into the Destiny Laboratory, headed aft on the space station. And there's my crewmate, Sandy Magnus. She's getting her exercise in for today. And I'd like to show you a little bit of our equipment here. This rack is the oxygen generation system, and we have a few too many things on this rack, and we're in the middle of cleaning it off, not to interfere, but you can see oxygen, we're making oxygen. And when we make oxygen, we're breaking down water into hydrogen and oxygen, and the oxygen comes right out here. The water we're making, it either comes from the condensate from the air conditioning system, you know, the water that's in the air, or urine. So this is a really neat regenerative life support system. This is our toilet number 2. We haven't quite gone there yet, so to speak, but it's all set up and it is ready to go. There's where you can do number 2. And don't worry, I won't show you anything you're not supposed to see. And there's place for number two. And number one goes in a big funnel right here. Now we're say, well, there's no privacy here, and there isn't because we haven't put out the cabin. The cabin's going to stick out really far. Speaking of sticking out far, because the cabin's going to stick out far, we've actually moved the Sevis over with the brackets called crab brackets because it actually moved the crab, it crabbed it off to the side. This is the WRS rack number one, and it works closely in conjunction with WRS rack number two. WRS stands for Water Recovery System. On top of the water recovery system rack number two, we have the Total Organic Carbon Analyzer, the TOCA, and we have a spot to take a urine tank, a Yedebeu, using a compressor. We send the urine through here, and then it goes into the urine processing assembly, which is not working perfectly right now. So also, that's for the urine that comes from the Russian segment from our main toilet. But this other toilet that we just saw, the urine can come from there directly into here. It gets distilled and processed to pure water, which we can drink, or can be made into oxygen or used for other things. Here's a new thing also that we got, was the Express Rack number 6. Which one of my favorite things on this rack is cold drinks inside and keep things cold, which is the first time in a long time that we've had something like this on station. So you can see it's not very much room, but it's enough. It's definitely enough. Also, we have a glacier freezer. That's not for food, it's for biological samples. And we also have a potable water dispenser, which isn't certified for use yet, but in the future, this is what we're going to be able to have, fill our drink bags and rehydrate our food from here. That's on the ceiling, by the way. We can definitely use three dimensions in space, so even though this is a big space station, it's even bigger because we use, you know, the ceiling and the floors also. This is the robotics workstation for the laboratory module. This is where we do our robotics from. You can see that we have our monitors here. We even have a potential to put two more monitors when the shuttle comes, so we have a lot of use. Eventually, in the next year or so, we're going to have the cupola on our next node, node 3. And the cupola will be able to look outside. It has a lot of very beautiful windows. And then we have a robotics workstation, this one, the cupola robotics workstation, that'll fit there. We have a lot of computers everywhere. We have a printer, old-fashioned, but it works. And now we're going to go back into one of the first modules, node 1, which is also called Unity. This thing that's kind of blocking our view is the advanced resistive exercise device, and it's we put it together recently, and we're still checking it out. It still needs to be calibrated, but once it gets calibrated, we'll be exercising here every day, and it's big. This is a really huge device, but it also can twice as much chances to work out. I think most people would say that the iRED, the interim resistive exercise device, you can maybe go up to 200 or 300 pounds. This one has the potential to go up to 600 pounds. So you can get much bigger loads. It works by using a vacuum system. So you can see these two big vacuum canisters right up here. And you can see as I float backwards in the node one here, you can see how big the ARED is and how much room it takes up. And this is its stowed configuration. On the floor we have, and we're trying to change this because I don't think this is the best place, but everything in the space station world needs to be negotiated, and that's okay. We're not in a hurry, even though we're going fast. This is our pond or wall of water that's down here. We have different kinds of water, and these are called contingency water containers, CWCs. And you can see different kinds. There's water that you can drink and water that you can use for other things like flush water or generating oxygen. Now, here's the airlock. As we go, the Quest airlock. I'll turn on some lights as we get in there. And usually we don't go in here every day. We do try to keep it fairly clean, and I'm in the middle of doing an inventory for the 15A crew as they come up here. The airlock is one of the few USOS, American-style modules that doesn't have a single light switch. You have to turn on every light as you need. But from here, many EVAs, extravehicular activity spacewalks, have been conducted. There's in the back of this room, this crew lock is a hatch that goes outside into space. So you can see that hatch right there. In the meantime, we're kind of storing EVA-related things here. You can see this is a SAFER, which is a kind of a jet backpack that we wear on the outside of our spacesuits in case we get separated from the spaceship. We can fly our way back in. SAFER's pretty neat. The Russian spacesuits, which are many good things about them, but they don't have a SAFER. So this is all of our stuff as we're getting ready for STS-119. You can see already starting a tool bag. Usually, everything's spread out more than it usually is, but we're putting together mini workstations for Swanee and Ricky and Joe as they get ready to go outside. So that's what the airlock looks like at the moment. Now, Node 1, originally brought up in on STS-88, Node 1 is getting kind of crowded, but it's also good places for storage. Here's our toolbox, one of my favorite places to go every day, and I have to go every day to the toolbox. We have a zero-G storage rack. The kind of things we have in here are computer parts. Usually we have some lithium hydroxide canisters that the shuttle leaves on here in case we have a shuttle contingency. We throw away all of our empty food containers in here. And as we float up on the ceiling, we have a lot of places where we keep our office kind of things, paper, pens, things like that, as well as tools and scope meters and things like that. I remember being at Capcom on STS-96 when I first saw these signs. That's pretty amazing. Wireless access point. That's number one. We have three total. This is the pressurized mating adapter, PMA. And inside, this is where we keep all of our clothes. Not all of our clothes, because we've got a lot of clothes, but this is a lot of our clothes, as well as other soft goods like hygiene items, towels, wipes, shaving cream, shampoo, things like that. And now we're going to fly. We're going to run out of light. So I'm going to turn off the camera for a second and put on a light. Okay, back with you. I have a headlight on. Well, not on my head. It's actually on the camera. And we're floating into the Russian side of things. First and foremost, we are now in the pressurized adapter part of the functional cargo block. We call it the GA-A, and it's also a docking port down below. As you carefully look down below, you can see the hatches, and inside that what you can see in front of us is the docking mechanism for the Soyuz. The Soyuz is our launch vehicle. Yuri and I and Richard Garriott launched here. It's also our landing vehicle. Yuri and I are going to be landing in the Soyuz, along with Charles Simeoni. Right now, it's our lifeboat in case anything goes wrong. So we have our lifeboat kind of things in here. Our spacesuits are ready. We still have a little bit of unpacking to do, but you can see things are really crowded in the FGB. That we thought it's best to leave it in the Soyuz, since we still have about 2 months before we go home, 2.5 months actually. So this is the living compartment, the BO. and it's a bit cramped in here. And we'll stop in the bow on our way up, and we'll just keep diving down in here, and we'll get into our landing module called the ESA, and this is the place where we sit for launch and landing. And this is this Yuri's seat right here. My seat is right over there. And we'll sneak down in a little bit more, but it's really cramped. And Sandy's seat is right over here. Okay. You can see the Neptune panel. It's a glass cockpit, which is why this is the biggest feature between the new Soyuz TMA. Well, it's relatively new, and the old Soyuz TM. The A stands for anthropometric, and that means also the panel got smaller in the glass cockpit, so taller people can fit inside. There's a window. That's my seat over there. Our flight data file, our checklist ready for us. And you can hear a fan running because we're always keeping ventilation to it. So come on up. It's very compact. It's not a lot of room. Spacecraft. We have a lot of stowage here in the Ga'a. Now Yuri's been busy unloading the Progress. We just finished an EVA, so things here in the functional cargo block are very functional right now and very cargo-y. So you can see things are just really, really full here in the FGB. And again, you'll have to pardon us while we get our things together as we rebuild the space station from the inside. Expedition 18, that's our job, is to get ready for a 6-person crew. You can see there's a lot of containers. These metal containers hold water or urine. And that's what, right now a lot of these are waiting for a ride back in the Progress. As we leave the FGB here, and go into the docking compartment. Docking compartment is another one of those vertical looks. And it's a kind of a misnomer. It's not just docking compartment, but it's also a airlock. So Yuri and I went out in these two spacesuits a few weeks ago and went into open space and had a spacewalk. Continuing on down through here, we'll stop here on the way back, is our Progress cargo vehicle. The Progress is a cargo ship, unmanned, uncrewed, nobody driving, and has the same kind of docking compartment. It's very much based on the Soyuz design, except it doesn't have any re-entry capability. So you can see it's all empty now. Yuri had emptied it out, and now we're going to get ready to fill it up with a lot of the things that are in the FGB. You can see there's a lot of metal frames. We have to put those back together. Some assembly required. On the hatch, you can see these hatch clamps, the yellow ones. They help keep the Progress attached to the International Space Station. I'm going to take a look outside. And this is the hatch that I opened up and went outside for a spacewalk, and we're looking aft on the space station. There's a ladder, some solar panels. We're looking at the service module, Zvezda. And looking at our beautiful planet Earth. Let's see if we get a nice little view here of Earth. A little small treat. There's no tour of the space station would be complete without it. Yep, we're still over ocean right now. And I imagine we'll be getting over land fairly soon. If I can, I'll try to show it to you. So that's the control panel for the airlock. A couple hatches here. Some ducting through the hatches. And last but not least, in the service module, Zvezda, which means star, it's the heart of the space station. It's where we used to have the only place where we could create oxygen and live with the carbon dioxide removal system, as well as a place to eat and sleep. There's my crewmate, Yuri Lonchakov, exercising on the treadmill with vibration isolation system, the Tevis. Yor, скажи привет.
Hi.
There's Yura. I like this one because there's a view out the window. And also you could see the sun wasn't glaring so much. You could actually see the starboard side of the space station. And you can only see that there's one set of huge American solar arrays. So carefully backing out so not to bump into Yuri. You see the very aft end of the space station. Now again, there's a lot of things in there because we're getting ready to load up the Progress. Here's our number one bathroom. Turning on the lights. It looks the same as the other one, with the same toilet and the same funnel hose. We have different kinds of toilet paper here, wet wipes, dry wipes, a control panel right there, and those are our toilet facilities. I'm going to show you our eating facilities pretty quickly, and that'll wrap up the tour. This is the International Space Station. A very good example, a cluttered example at the moment, but a very good example of what human beings can do when we work closely together. So, this is our eating area. There's our table. And we're just getting ready for lunch. There's our water dispenser right there, Russian style. And our controller for the water dispenser. There's Yuri's room off to the side. You can see he has a sleeping bag right there hanging on the wall and a computer right here so he can call on the telephone, write email, and read books. So, and relax in the evenings a little bit because we have long days up here. So, as we say goodbye, I do want to show a few more things real quick. Take a look out the windows, and we can actually see the outside of the Progress cargo ship that we were just inside a few minutes ago. And let's see, what else can we see? Oops, we can see land. It's a little bit hazy there. I believe that's the edge of India and Burma or Myanmar. Let's see if I can zoom in for you. It's a little bit hazy there, especially this time of year. But you can see that there's clouds out there. We're looking through the window here. And we're just the edge of, there we go. So see the edge of the land, at the coastline of Burma. So we have all kinds of windows, all kinds of interesting things to see and do. And you can see our map. It's not world map, that's Sigma, that shows us where we are. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So again, excuse our mess. We're in the middle of getting the space station ready for six people to come aboard. And it's a lot of building, a lot of things that are in transition, as you know. Also, this is a surprise visit that you guys are paying on us today. So things aren't cleaned up, but they're real. This is exactly how we work and live in space. And I hope you enjoyed the tour. And if there are any questions, well, send them through Capcom and we'll see if we can answer them. So this is Mike Fink saying goodbye and thanks.